Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
And hey, 403 on this Thursday morning. Bop, bop, bop. It's a baseball morning. That's right. It's a baseball time. The garden party is long since dead. Everybody packed up. The tables are in. The chairs are folded and put back in the garage. The garden party is over. But that's okay because, hey, we got the best team in baseball. Hey, the Mets have won three in a row and swept the Nationals, and head to London for the premier series of the weekend as they take on the second-best team in baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies. And for me, yesterday was a couple things. One, with the New York Yankees, more dominance over the Twins, sure. Seems easy, sounds easy, sure. And yesterday was spent a lot of it talking about how great Luis Gil is, and he certainly is. And it's becoming must-watch TV. And it's becoming, you know, it's not quite yet, you know, like Doc or Harvey Day, but we're getting there because he's that good. This team is that special. And I'll tell you right now, Sunday night against the Dodgers, Luis Gil versus Glasnow, again, you know, Yankee Stadium, Dodgers, Yankees, Sunday night baseball, that is must-watch TV. But as much as we could talk about Luis Gil and his dominance, Carlos Rodon, who heading into the season was as important a figure on this team and was as, you know, you could tell, we were talking about this, you could tell how the season will go, especially after the Cole injury, on how Rodon does, right? If Rodon is the same player he was last year, the Yankees could struggle. And if he finds his way, that would be enormous for this Yankee team. And obviously, as he shuts down and sets down the first 16 last night, he's got an ERA of, you know, 3. He's been utterly brilliant other than one start against Baltimore. And more than that, he's been everything you could hope. He's found his fastball. He's got his slider. But he is one of the premier cases of overcoming a brutal start to a Yankee career. Because not only was he dealing with injuries last year, right? It starts with the forearm. Then he's got the what's deemed a chronic back that doesn't seem to be an issue at all right now, knock on wood. But he also has the issue with blowing the kisses to the fan, right? He gets knocked out in the first inning of his last start against Kansas City and needs to just get away. I joked he probably joined Aaron Rodgers in the darkness retreat. Like, he needed to get away from baseball. He needed to get away from the Yankees. The fans were all over him. They were just itching to get back on him. I mean, he had a brutal start to his Yankee career. The money he got paid, I mean, really, he was the one addition. Yes, they also signed Judge, but he had obviously been there for 5-6 years. The one real change to the team last year was going out and trying to get that second ace to go with Gerrit Cole. And while Gerrit Cole flourished and won the Cy Young, he was awful, missed half the year, embarrassed himself in the Yankees, and the Yankees had their worst season in 30 years. And in some ways, he was the face of it. And yet, he's bounced back. He's done everything you could have possibly asked for, of him. He continues to be dominant, really, for the most part. We're not giving him credit. He's having a great year, along with Stroman, along with even Nestor Cortez, who struggled at times. But this rotation overall, as we get all pumped about the lineup, and no doubt Soto, Judge, they scored 9 runs again last night, and last night without the addition of a home run. So they aren't as home run reliant. They are better overall. I mean, Volpe is, you know, hitting triples every single night. And we get another, you know, Katie Sharp stat, another random weird stat going back 50 years or 20 years or 30 years. Now they have 7 triples in their last 7 games, and it's the first. Like, every night the Yankees are giving you with this team another unbelievable stat that hasn't been done in however long. Like, that's the kind of team that we're dealing with right now. And it's in no small part because of the rotation and specifically Carlos Rodon, who was brilliant again last night. And he's probably, because of waiting on Gerrit Cole and because Luis Gil has become this, you know, unhittable pitcher, Gerrit Cole just being damn good and overcoming all the obstacles, whether it be injury or the fan base, you know, despising him and having as bad a start to a Yankee career as you could have, overcoming all of that and just being really damn good. And pitching to ace-like levels. And someone who right now, I have zero problem, zero fear, zero issue handing the ball over to in a playoff game, which is ultimately what we're going to have to worry about with this team. Because you know where they're going. Where there is a division winner, which right now they picked up a game last night and they're 3.5 over Baltimore. Or whether it's a wild card or whatever it is. This team is going to the playoffs. We all know it. And it's going to be how they perform there. Whether they win 110 games, whether they win 92 games, whatever the case may be, they're going to the playoffs and they're going to have to rely on this starting pitching, because with this lineup, you might be able to get through the regular season with a starting pitching that's average, although it's been as great as it's been. It's been the best rotation in baseball. But you can sneak through where you need it. And Rodon even said it last year to start the year and was mocked for it. And now it's probably coming to fruition. He's not here to pitch in May, June, July, August. He's here to pitch in September and October. And right now, the way he's going and the way this rotation's going, you're going to have Cole coming back, you're going to have Luis Gil, and you're going to have Rodon and probably Stroman as your 4 pitchers heading into a postseason series. How could you not feel pretty damn good about that? And Rodon's really had a remarkable start to this year, and hopefully it finishes off and he could be this guy, the guy he was for the Giants, the guy he was his last year in Chicago, and someone right now as a real important piece of this team that has the best record in baseball, that is 3.5 games over the Baltimore Orioles, and continues to pound the Minnesota Twins as they head into a series this weekend against the Dodgers and the Mets. Sweep away the lousy Washington Nationals. The bats have awoken. They get a good pitch game from Luis Severino. He goes 8 innings and has been, you know, a pleasant surprise here. I don't know if I want to say surprise, but he's pitched, you know, pretty well. As really the starting rotation has been the one mainstay, really. They don't go deep into games. They walk guys too much. But ultimately, they've been pretty good as the bullpen has now fallen apart. The lineup has been completely inconsistent. But you're seeing the lineup. Obviously, they scored 9 runs. Lindor, since the meeting, I don't know how much everyone else, the momentum is carried over from the meeting, although they've won 5 of 7 since that day. I do think the last 2 games against Arizona kind of hampers the impact of the meeting, but ultimately they sweep a series. They've won 5 of 7. Lindor has finally got it going, and it's really important. But what's more important than even Lindor, what's more important than Severino, in my mind, is the statement made by the Mets in this series and really all year long, but specifically these 3 games, by not playing Jeff McNeil. Right? By not playing Jeff McNeil and playing Iglesias and saying to him and saying to Beatty and saying to Novarez and saying to Lopez and saying to Hauser, which they've made statements up and down the lineup, rotation, whoever, all year long, if you don't perform, you don't play. There has been a level of accountability, even while they've struggled, even while they've been one of the worst teams in the National League, even while they just went 3-7 in a very important 10-game homestand. They've looked at this team, and whatever the expectations are, and whatever they'll do at the trade deadline, which I still think they will trade people away, and while I do still think that's what this general manager and owner probably want done, they are not sitting by and allowing Jeff McNeil to be a black cloud over this team with his terrible at-bats, his terrible attitude. He has become a major issue, and you know what? They're better without him. and they were better without him these three games. Iglesias has brought a spark. Obviously, you know, Torrens, you know, trading over from the Yankees and replacing Nevarez as the second catcher to Tomas Nito has brought a spark because he had two home runs in this game. But those two players playing instead of the players they've replaced who are not good, and the message, you know, Beatty, not good enough. I don't care. You've improved defensively. You can't hit. We're going to play Vientos. I don't care. We're sending you down. Jeff McNeil, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how many batting titles you have. I don't care how many all-star game appearances or how much of a part of the core of this team you are. You're popping everything up. You're having miserable at-bats, and you're pouting and moping, and you look like a miserable guy, and we don't need it right now. We're going to sit you on the bench until you figure it out. I mean, Hauser sent to the bullpen. He's the first move this GM made. There's no, you know, Brian Cashman gets accused of never admitting mistakes. Stearns had no problem saying, oh, I traded for him from Milwaukee. This is kind of my move. I don't care. You're not good enough. Get to the bullpen. I love the accountability that this team has put forth. And while, like I said, some of the instances have happened throughout the year and haven't had the impact, I think the Jeff McNeil one has had an impact, both by playing someone else and the message. And Nevarez has had an impact by both playing someone else and the message. And even the Lopez situation, where it was kind of like, you don't want, I understand, you know, as we've said, there was an issue with it. You would have liked to have seen him use an interpreter to be a little bit more clear with his words. There might not have been as much of a controversy, whether or not he said worst team, best team, worst team, worst teammate, or whatever. But ultimately, he didn't seem to care that the manager was upset. It seemed like he wasn't that interested in being here. You don't want to be here? We don't need you. I don't care. The bullpen's falling apart. Whoever doesn't want to be here doesn't have to be here. And whoever doesn't play well doesn't play. And hopefully that meeting, along with Lindor's play and the message of, hey, you better get your act together or you won't see the field, has really helped the Mets. Now, again, three games against the Nationals for me, while we still see the problems of this lineup and we still see certainly the problems of this bullpen, where even the Reed Garretts and the Ottavinos, who've been so clutch for them, have been bad the last 2 weeks. I'm still not sure they've turned this thing around. I still don't think the team's very good, and I still think you're looking at a trading frenzy at the deadline. But ultimately, even if all that's true, they're holding players accountable. And we'll see if they can turn it around. It'll start in London this weekend with a two-game set against Philadelphia, the best team in all of baseball. And if they could win those two games, well, now you've got something. Maybe you've got a little spark if you can go beat Philly, who took 3 or 4 from the last time you saw them. They're playing as good as anyone in baseball, this side of the Yankees. And they'll have to overcome having 2 days off right off their best stretch of baseball in a month and a half. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls, as we got you for one more hour until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. The great Chris Lopresti will be in for Jerry today. Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Man, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Before I get to the Yankee question I have, I've been calling a long time on the overnight, so I feel like I'm a part of the family, but I just got a comment, you know, not for nothing, but Eddie likes to stir the pot
a
little bit.
He certainly does.
You know, he did it also, too, with some of the participants for Boomer's bike ride. You know, Eddie, do me a favor, speaking as a caller, just get to your sports point. That's all it matters. But here's the thing I want to say about the Yankees. I mean, and not being a Yankee fan, but I got to tell you, I honestly can't remember, you know, one team's dominance over another one.
I know, it's crazy.
For as long a period of time. I mean, I don't even think the Braves had as much dominance over the Mets.
No.
And they've been dominant over the Mets, but I mean, it just seems like.
No.
I mean, earlier this season, they win 11 in a row, Minnesota, something like that?
They can't.
And then,
yeah,
then they get.
Correct.
Right?
They came into the Yankee series, I believe 10 in a row and 12 of 13,
really
something like
hot.
That. They came in hot, yeah. No doubt. And the Yankees have pulled them off. And then since the Yankee series, they haven't played as well, even against other teams. But it's not like they went right back to playing well. Like, the Yankees cooled them off. And now, the dominance has been. Last year they won a series in Yankee Stadium, and that's how you knew the season was going to be a terrible one. They actually lost the series to Minnesota, but no, It's 144 out of 160 games. It is something like crazy.
Unreal.
It is something crazy. The level, and it always seems like they find the Twins in the playoffs. I mean, it's not like the Twins have been the worst team in baseball. I know it's easy for us as a fan base and even a city who pays attention to this stuff, even if you're a Mets fan or whatever, like, it's easy to just call them the doormat. And obviously they are. But it's not like they are a persistent last-place finisher. It is not like the Twins have been this helpless franchise that hasn't made the playoffs in forever and is terrible. Like, a lot of those wins against them are in the playoffs. Like, they never beat the Yankees. They make the playoffs a lot. They have a winning team right now. Like, right now, even despite getting killed by the Yankees left and right, like, they're five games over 500. Now, I'm not telling you they're a juggernaut here, but the Minnesota Twins are a fine baseball team. They're right in the mix to make a wild card here. Like, they're a good, solid baseball team, and the Yankees just absolutely own them. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, it's like, I can't imagine being, you know, I mean, look, I got nothing to hang my head on being a Mets fan lately, but
right.
I can only imagine what a Twins fan feels like when they look at the schedule and see when they're up against the Yankees.
I know.
Like, all right, well, we're not going to that game.
I mean, really,
it's got to be disheartening. So.
Oh, no doubt.
Anyway, you have a good rest of the night.
You too, Eric. Thank you very much for the call. But yeah, no, it's borderline bizarre. Like, it doesn't actually make sense. Like, quite honestly, the Yankees aren't that much better than the Twins. They're better than the Twins. They're not 140 out of 170 better. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy. But, and again, it's not like they're the worst team in baseball. This isn't, you know, I joked about the Globetrotters and the Generals. Like, that's what it feels like. It's now, Minnesota, up until they faced those fraud Blue Jays, hadn't won a playoff game in forever. Like, it wasn't just the Yankees. They had a long stretch of losing playoff games until the fraud Blue Jays came along. And by the way, the Blue Jays are frauds. I've been saying it for years. This core group of players, if I'm running things in Toronto, I'm changing it up. There's a lot of talent there, and there's a lot of former, you know, there's lineage there, but they are a bunch of frauds. That team, now they're three games under 500 after beating Baltimore last night. They're terrible. They're just not. Vlad is not the player we thought he was. It's just, they are just not nearly as good as they should be. And when big games come up, I am never worried about playing Toronto. Never. Never. Bunch of frauds. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Before I get to why I called, just to add to the Yankees and the baseball season, it's what I can't stand. I was talking to my buddy yesterday. There's still 100 games left, I think, something like that.
Yes.
I mean, you couldn't draw this up any better for the Yankees from top down. Boone's decision making, like, everything is perfect. There's 100 games left. You got to call that. It's just, I'm sure they'll be great. They'll probably make the run. But, I this is hard. It's hard to keep, like, you know, like, it's like football by week 6, 7. You really do kind of know. I mean, there's a couple of things that happen. You go on winning streaks. But in football, you know how the season develops as it goes. This doesn't work that way. It's hard to keep me with this, you know? Like, yeah, the Yankees are the best. The Yankees are – what happens – or even the Mets. The Mets could turn it around, right? And all of a sudden, in 2 more months, they make a playoff. But anyway, why I called, because it's something interesting. You talked about not banning somebody from the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Just quickly with me, I remember calling Francesa in the day, and I think you were working there. And I remember I used to, you know, aggravate him quickly. And I remember calling, and Mons told me, hey, man, he's mad. Don't call this week. You can call him next week. So I literally was banned for a week. And then with Sal, last year before you came on.
Yeah.
Sal used to flip out all the time. I mean, I don't know. We would go at it like me and you, but me and you seemed to figure it out. Sal used to flip out, and then he banned me from the radio. I was done. I'm like, what happened? My buddy ran into Sal. Listen to this. My buddy runs into him. He hears his voice. He's the only two people in a wrestling store in Comac. He hears Sal's voice. He goes up, hey, you're Sal? And he's like, yeah, who are you? You know, he's like, oh, I'm friends with Brett from Long Island. And he goes, oh, my God. And he, like, took a picture of my buddy, giving me the finger, whatever. He said, Brett's not banned. He's not, I still have it on my phone.
I'm sure he never banned you. There are times we get frustrated with you. I get frustrated.
Right,
listen, we have fun.
Good.
We'll talk about it another time. Interesting topic.
It's all fun. This whole thing is just fun and entertainment.
Doubt. It's not
and
that
it
serious.
Should never get to that point. I don't know what happened with Stu, but nothing's that serious.
I don't know. I don't think anything happened with Stu.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, who cares? Like, but anyway, I just wanted to tell you that. And no, baseball season, though, you're all in. Do you watch all these games?
Not only do I watch them, I score them. Yes, I watch them. I watch them very intently.
You watch you don't miss Yankee games, for real, like all year long.
Correct.
Really?
I will do it every game. I will do whatever I can to avoid people talking about the game. I will watch a game at 3 o'clock in the morning if necessary. I'll watch it the next morning if necessary, and I'll do my best to not know what the score was all night long. And if I'm at an event or have a party or something and I'm just too tired when I get home, I will wake up early in the morning and try and watch it. I can't tell you. I have no memory of the last time I missed an entire Yankee game.
Well, and Chris, what if they're not? I mean, listen, it's probably a little easier now to do that. What if they were bad? Like, what if it was the Mets, so to speak, and you're watching, like, you've always been that way your whole life? You're watching all the time? Even if Brett, they're bad, and let's say...
Well, here's the thing, Brett. You just touched on one of my favorite topics, buddy. Brian Cashman. They're never bad. I don't know. I wish I could tell you. I have no idea what it's like to watch a bad Yankee team that's out of it. I mean, last year was as close as it gets, and I watched every game. So you wonder why I kiss Brian Cashman's ass? You wonder why I'm a shill for Brian Cashman? You want to know why? Because I love the Yankees with a burning, fiery passion. Just ask Giannotti. I love the Yankees with a passion. And for my entire life, I'm 40 years old, for my entire life, I've never had to do what most Met fans do every year and watch a fading team down the stretch play meaningless games. I've never had to watch it. So you seem flabbergasted by the idea I watch all these Yankee games. And you want to know, well, what happens if they're bad? I don't know. I have to travel back to 1992 to find out. And back then, I don't remember what I was doing in 1992. So, that's why I kiss his ass. And that's why I'm somewhat pleased with him. And that's why when people go nuts and talk about how he's the worst GM in baseball, and he needs to get, you know, he needs to be out of here, and the Steinbrenners, you know, Hal needs to, you know, find another profession and sell the team. It's right there, Brett. Right there. I've never missed a Yankee game in... I can't tell you when. I probably have in the last 10 years or so. I don't have any memory of it. Oh, that's not true. That is not true. June of not 2 years ago, so almost coming up on 2 years, when they were no hit by the Astros, I had to go. I had something during the day, and then I went to my high school reunion. I went to my high school reunion, my 20th high school reunion that night. And it was just it was a game in the middle of the year. I didn't think anybody would bother me with Yankee scores. And I'm in the bathroom, and my buddy Ronnie goes, can you believe they got no hit? And I'm like, you son of a... And so he told me they got no hit, and I think I watched part of it, but I was like, I'm not going to watch them get no hit. So that's probably the only time in my memory that I've just not watched the Yankee game. And if you want to know what I would do if the Yankees were bad... You and I have to wonder together, because I have no idea. Thank you, Brian Cashman. Thank you. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you for another half hour or so till we get to the warm-up show. Chris LaPresti in for Jerry today. Should be fun. But until then, you got me kissing Brian Cashman's ass. 888-808-1019. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Jeter homers to tie the game, and there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
A little Jimmy Eat World at 4:31 in the morning. McMonagle here with you for another half hour. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls, talking baseball on this beautiful Thursday morning. Actually, it wasn't so beautiful. It was teeming rain. I don't know if it's still raining outside. It was pouring rain when I left my house. I feel like we've gotten fairly good weather. I feel like it's been a decent stretch of weather, at least on the weekends. It's been nice, but I mean, teeming rain. Hopefully no rain tonight as the Yankees will take on the Twins. Mets are off, heading to London. And I saw Keith wearing it. The promotion, here's the other thing. The fan base is just crazed right now for the Yankees. They've been so hungry for this, right? The changes made, the other great player in Juan Soto, the left-handed hitters, all the problems with the aforementioned Brian Cashman, the way he built teams. So hungry for it that, I mean, right now, it is. I saw videos outside the building waiting for a Juan Soto basketball jersey. I mean, we talk about the Mets promotions and nobody showing up to Daryl Strawberry and 18,000, the first 18,000 fans get this. Nobody cares. The biggest seller was Hello Kitty. You know, all the complaints about Mets fans right now. The Yankees are selling out. And for the Juan Soto jersey, the lines were through the roof. They were like down the block to get a. I can't imagine they're that nice a jersey.
Well, it might be a novelty item next year.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, who knows who's wearing number 22 next year? Hopefully, it's Juan Soto. I expect it to be. But who knows? Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. So, Rodon looked great yesterday, I have to say. You know, he definitely is not a shell of himself anymore because, you know, we knew when he was pitching for the White Sox, you know, he was good. He just needed to be healthy. And Beal is looking great, I have to say, you know. Definitely in a running for a rookie year, if not probably the number one for the rookie of the year. And I want to say one thing. What's your top two games, Yankee games you've been to live, like memories?
The top two games I've been to live.
Yeah, Yankee ones. Yeah,
Yankee ones. I think one of them. I've never been to a World Series game. I didn't go to a lot of games in my youth, believe it or not. So I would say one of my favorites, I guess my two favorites. One, I went with Mike Francesa, Sal Licata, and Eddie Erickson back when that was the team with Mike in 2009. Right. So I went with them, and I sat in Mike's seats, which were at the time, he ended up getting right behind home plate, but at the time in 2009, his season tickets were front row, second level, right behind home plate, which, by the way, are, in my opinion, are better than right behind home plate. They are perfect, perfect view for a baseball game. And that was game two of the ALDS against the Minnesota Twins when Alex Rodriguez took Joe Nathan deep and hit a game-tying two-run home run, and then Teixeira hit the walk-off laser down the left field line. Just because of the circumstance, because I was there with Mike and Julio and Eddie Erickson and Sal, it was awesome. And then I would say my second favorite game, just because it's my favorite moment, and the crowd, it's probably the loudest I've heard the new Yankee Stadium, even though the Alex Rodriguez home run was big too. But the wild card game against the, let me think. Oh, yeah, the Minnesota Twins. It's amazing. The Twins are just everywhere. The Minnesota Twins, where Severino gives up three runs in the first inning, and then Didi Gregorius hits the three-run home run in the bottom of the first inning to tie the game, and like you knew they were going to win. Like you just knew they were going to win. He took, I think it was Irving Santana was the starting pitcher that night, and Didi hits the home run to tie the game, and the place went absolutely. They bring in Chad Green to get out of the bottom of the first with three strikeouts. Severino had absolutely nothing. It's 3-0. Everybody's down in the dumps. They're going to lose to the Minnesota Twins. I can't believe this. And then Didi hits that home run. The place went wild, and it was a party after that. So that's probably, I wish I had World Series games. I was in the bleachers with my father and my uncle for the game, the ALCS clincher in 1998 against the Cleveland Indians. And I remember the scoreboard, you know, putting on Darryl Strawberry, because Darryl Strawberry was sick with cancer at the time. He was dealing with cancer. But believe it or not, unlike many people, I don't know what it is. I hope my brain's okay. I remember that day in spurts. Like, I don't remember ever, like, I was old enough, right? I'm 15, 14 years old. I know it's a long time ago, but I don't remember the game that well. I would say that, but I would say that game because they obviously won the ALCS and on to the World Series. It was the 98 team, but I don't remember it that well other than the final out and Darryl Strawberry and Frank Sinatra and celebrating. I don't remember the game. Tommy, and I think I got to look back and see if I'm right. I think Jim Thome hit a big home run into like the upper deck in right field, but other than that, I don't remember it for some reason. Tommy in Astoria, what's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I just realize it's coming up on almost a year. You do it overnight, huh? That went fast.
It is July 10th. So yeah, we are, you know, getting we're 11 months into this thing. Yes.
Oh well, you're doing a great job. You really
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I think you're the best kind of station.
Well, that's very kind. I don't know how accurate it is, but it's very kind. Thank you.
No, you are. You are. Quick question. You know, I'm a big Mets fan, and it's funny. It's nice that they won a series. It's so nice. It's like a breath of fresh air watching a team without McNeil. I hate to say it. It just is. It's just the guy who's just like dead weight dragging the team down. Not that Iglesias is, Ryan Sandberg out there, but it's just nice to see a ball player. The guy competes, and he just makes the plays. And yeah, McNeil. But the thing about a couple points I wanted to make. Everybody's talking about how the Mets are going to clean house at the deadline, but I don't see how you trade a guy like McNeil. I didn't realize he's making $15 million for the next 2 years, and Marte's making $19.5 next year. I don't see how you get rid of guys. Like, who would take guys like this?
No.
I don't know who would take guys like this. JD Martinez. I don't know who you really get rid of.
So I mean, you could trade. I think you could trade. I think Manaea's pitched well enough. Quintana, you can get rid of starting. Yeah. You could trade away almost your entire starting rotation.
Well, can I ask you a quick question? You're a baseball guy. I know you watch all the games. How do you see? This is why I think this team doesn't have a run in them. Even if they straighten out this bullpen, and I didn't realize this, but you know they're 8 games under 500 for the year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're 500 on the road, and they're 8 games. They don't win at home. They're 8 games under 500.
Yeah, they
you know they have the lowest team batting average at home, and on the road that they hit 60 points higher on the road. Why do you think that is? Does that make sense?
I don't get that. I mean,
why would that be?
Well, here's the easy answer, and it's simplistic, and I don't know if it's necessarily it. In this small sample size, which it's a third of the season, maybe it works. Unfortunately, they have played their worst baseball to open the year at home. Those first five games were brutal. Right. Then they got hot on the road. They played their best stretch in Cincinnati. They played their best stretch in Atlanta. They won that series 2 out of 3. They went to Los Angeles and beat the Dodgers. And then they've been in a rut heading back home for this 10-game series. Like, I think it's, if you just look at those two homestands alone where they were awful, I mean, they could sway the numbers right there. I think that's it. I don't think there's anything to it that City Field's an issue or anything like that. I think they opened the year ice cold and lost 5 of the first 6 of that homestand, and then this long homestand of 10 games, they were awful. I think it's as simple as that when you're talking about a 60-game stretch. But that, I mean, you got to be better at home. There's no doubt about it. The Mets, you're right. Let me check the exact numbers here. The Mets are 8 games under 500 at home, and they're 500 on the road. You're supposed to be 8 games over 500 at home and 500 on the road. That's what good teams do. They've been terrible at home. But again, you want to look at it. Five of the losses are in the first 5 games of the year. And then they just lost 7 of 10. So 12 of the 21 losses come in those two homestands. And only 4 of the wins. So when you're only talking about playing 60 some odd games, 62 games, that's why. But I don't think it's anything other than that. I don't think there's any reason they don't play well at home. I mean, no one's showing up to the ballpark. The numbers are down. It's early on. You know, we'll see once the kids get out of school. Hopefully the numbers pick up, but it hasn't for the likes of Darryl Strawberry, which, again, I want to give a weird take on that one, the Darryl, because, like, I know we're trying to figure out, certainly Evan has been trying to figure out why no one went to the Darryl Strawberry, and a lot of callers called up and just for the flat not going to games, that it's not, the team stinks, it's expensive, it's not worth it. Which is the obvious answer, but why Darryl Strawberry didn't bring anybody to the ballpark? I was thinking about this, and I don't know if this is the dumbest thing I've ever said or not, but, like, one, it was, you know, 1986, that championship, right? It's forever ago. So, I mean, that's the one thing. 96, 2006, 16. I mean, it's 38 years ago. So it's obviously a very long time ago, and it's been 35 years since Darryl's been on the team. So that's one. But because it's the one championship, and I don't know if this makes sense at all, but I just feel like I know it's they've never given the retired numbers necessarily, and to have Doc and Darryl have their numbers retired is great, and we should be doing it, and it's part of the failures of the previous ownership, and it's what's better about Stearns, and I agree all with that. But because it's 86 and it's the only championship they have since, besides 69, I just feel like it's been oversaturated where, like, okay, it's another, like, it seems like, oh, it's the day to finally celebrate Darryl. There's like 17 documentaries. Doc and Darryl just had like two. Darryl's coming out with another documentary. They had the Doc and Darryl documentary. Like, it's just been, Jimmy Kimmel came out with another 86 Mets documentary. Like, I just feel like we know so much about the 86 Mets and have focused so much on them that it's like, okay, I mean, all right, yeah, I haven't been in Citi Field to applaud him personally, but, like, we've celebrated that 86 team so freaking much that it's like, okay, another day of celebrating Darryl. Maybe that's a stupid take. I don't know, because I'm talking about documentaries and watching things on TV. But it feels like every summer there's another thing to watch about the 86 Mets. Like, even the Keith Hernandez documentary turns out to be an 86 Mets thing. Like, it's just... And now, I don't know if that is as valid or a reason not to go see it, but it's 40 years ago. And I just feel like that team is so oversaturated because we talk about it constantly because it's their only team. So it's like, oh, yeah, well, I've never personally been in the building, but I know everything there is to know about the team. I've seen a million documentaries, six-part documentaries. But still tough that nobody showed up for him. And I have to admit, it is also, like, they're both, Doc and Darryl are both wearing Yankee World Series rings. Doc specifically goes through the end of his career. And he literally said, you know, well, it's great to get the one, you know, and then obviously the Yankees and Mets playing the World Series. Yankees win I won the World Series with the Yankees. Yeah, over the Mets in 2000. And then there's the shot of Darryl like pointing up to the number from behind him, and he's got the Yankee ring on his finger. I love Darryl Strawberry. We all do. Yankees, he's you know, the one guy who really connects to both teams, but it's just funny. Let's see what John in Queens has to think about it. What's up, John?
Hey, Chris. Hey, you're losing me with this Darryl thing, man. I'm sorry. You really completely lost me. Darryl Strawberry hasn't been a Met in 40 years.
Yes.
Nobody can. Listen, I'll give you a perfect example.
But how am I losing you? That's what I said.
No, you just said it now, but you were like, I don't know why they're not showing up. Listen to what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm 53, okay? I was in my heyday watching the Mets in 86, the whole teenage years, right? In high school, I loved it, right? You know, I could care less if the Mets ever retired these guys' numbers because the Wilpons screwed that up so bad.
Yeah.
They took the fun and the luster out of everything the Mets fans ever wanted. Why would I care at 53 years old and go see that? The people that go
because
there,
wrong has been righted.
No, it hasn't been righted because you got dads there, right? So let's say you're a guy my age. You have a son who's in his 20s. You think he cares sitting at a Met game, Darryl Strawberry's going?
No.
He's only there because the father's there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Granted.
Right, but the Mets, in the Mets, like typical Mets fashion, they screwed up Doc, Darryl. I don't want to see Carter get retired. I don't want to see none. And Joe Benigno goes on rants all the time about this. I could care less at 53, you know?
Nah, I hear you. You're one of the people who didn't show up. I get it. I think I said that the years had something to do with it. I just wanted to throw another angle out there that it's not only just the years, but because of the years and because it's the one, I feel like even as a Yankee fan, I know everything about that team. And it's been like kind of over, it's like oversaturated, and it's been forever, and you're right. If you want to bring your kids, if you want to, like, you might remember it, but nobody you're going to bring with you cares, and the Mets stink. And he's wearing Yankee World Series ring. Did I say that? I feel like I forgot to mention that. Nope. I think I got it. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back rapid fire style with your calls as we take you to the warm-up show at 5.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung out and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:51. You know what I forgot to mention that cracked me up yesterday? Was obviously we were talking about the Yankees, because, you know, it's what we do here, especially in the 4 o'clock hour. And we're talking about Aaron Judge and how great he is. And I was, you know, mentioning how, for me, he's still the MVP of the team, even as great as Soto is. And some guy called up from New Haven, Connecticut, and just started yelling at me, really, that I'm not giving enough credit to Bryce Harper. That Bryce Harper has more career home runs than Judge. He's got more 700 more career RBIs. It's ridiculous. How can you say Judge is clearly better than he has to catch up? They're the same age, or he's even younger than Judge still, and he's never going to catch those numbers because they're going to play the same amount of years, and he'll end up with better numbers throughout his career. But so he's yelling at me that Bryce Harper is better than Judge, which is patently ridiculous because he's just not. I mean, right now the better player is Judge. Judge is having years that Bryce Harper doesn't, even with two MVPs, he's never had the years. But anyway, I don't want to get back into that argument. My point is, I guess Keith McPherson was listening on the way home because it happened around 2:30. And Keith sarcastically tweets out, I can't believe Bryce Harper's dad would call into Chris, you know, Big Mac show, Chris C-Mac show, and defend, you know, and yell at Chris that Harper's better than Judge. Crazy. With, like, laughing emojis. I can't tell you how many people believed that Bryce Harper's father called me at 2:30 in the morning to defend his son. It was just the guy from New Haven. I don't know. The joke is, I mean, you must be his father to be that passionate about it. It was a sarcastic tweet. Now, if you were listening to the show and saw the tweet, maybe it made you obviously recognize what he was trying to say. But if you're just scrolling through Twitter and you follow Keith McPherson and suddenly you see, I can't believe Bryce Harper's dad called in, everybody believed it. I'm driving home. I get a text message from Eddie Scazzeri pretty much saying, hey, what time did Bryce Harper's dad call in? Jerry wants to cut up the sound. And I'm like, no, he did not. Then I'm taking I just finished dropping off my son at school at 9 o'clock, and Evan Roberts texted me. Oh, that's awesome. Bryce Harper's dad called in. I'm like, no, he did not. Like, I can't believe how many text messages I got and tweets I got that people believed that Bryce Harper's father called me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, I know he was a Mickey Mantle fan, right? Because I believe Bryce Harper kind of wanted to be a Yankee, where it's one of the many reasons we hate Brian Cashman with a fiery passion, because he didn't consider signing Bryce Harper. And even furthermore, poo-pooed the idea that Bryce Harper would be willing to move to first base, the idea of he's not going to play first base. And now he is the first baseman for the Phillies because of injuries. But I know he was a Yankee fan, but I believe they live and grew up in Vegas. I don't know if his father, I think they're from Vegas, and I don't know if his father now lives in Philadelphia or stayed in Vegas or wherever he lives. But I'm pretty sure it's not New Haven, Connecticut. Nor would he concern himself with me at 2:30 in the morning when I didn't say a single cross word about Bryce Harper. But it was just funny to me how many people honestly believed it. Jerry was going to cut it up. I should have told him. He was on at 2:30. I should have just said, yeah, 2:30 he was on. I mean, Jerry would have went back and listened and realized it wasn't Bryce Harper's father. But, I mean, it was just, and so many people. I had friends of mine, people getting on me that I should, you know, I have a buddy who lives in Los Angeles who's, you know, in the movie industry some way or another. He does different casting and different things. He's always, and so he's big on me that I don't do enough. I don't promote myself enough. I don't do this. And he's like, you should, he texted me. He goes, why do you not have the clip of you and Bryce Harper's father? I'm like, what? I don't have a clip of me and Bryce Harper's father. That's why. Mr. Harper didn't call in.
I was going to go back and try and find where it was. I did see the tweet.
Yeah. No. Did you believe it when you saw it too?
I don't remember when it was that I saw the tweet, but I didn't believe. I guess I believed it because I was going to go check to find
it. Yeah, no, so everyone believed it. Everyone believed it. Yeah, where is it? Jerry wants to cut it up. I'm like, oh, yeah. I had a call, and then I'm in the car, so I don't want to text. So I called Al, and I'm like, Al, it's a sarcastic tweet from Keith McPherson. It's not real. That makes sense. I was like, it does make sense, doesn't it, Al? That does make sense. Ralphie in Outer Bridge. What's up, Ralphie?
How you doing? Appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, thank you for making it.
I was actually at the ceremony for Strawberry.
Okay.
It was a bigger, I mean, it was obviously a little bigger crowd than under normal circumstances. I think it was 33 or 35,000, which for them is pretty good. But just to hear him, you know, the gratitude coming out of the fire, you know, moving forward, it was really humbling. I was glad it was there.
I think he did it. I think he went like a touch long, but I thought his speech was actually really good.
Exactly. Maybe a little longer, but I guess you wanted just really to encompass everything just for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of stopped and assessed my life, and you got to just be grateful for what you have rather than what you don't have. Have a great day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And oh, here he is.
Mr. Harper's on the line.
Mr. Harper's on the line. I should have done this earlier. I completely forgot about it. Yeah, I was going to answer that question, but let's get to Ralph real quick because Ralph in New Haven, what's going on?
How are you doing? I was actually sleeping in my car. I work night, and I was sleeping in my car. And I heard, where's Mr. Harper tonight?
Yeah.
I said, let me call in.
I know. No, I mean,
what up?
Keith McPherson, the nighttime host, was driving home, heard our conversation.
I talked to him today.
Okay. Oh, you talked to him today. All right. So, yeah, he heard our conversation and tweeted out that, you know, sarcastically, because you were defending Bryce Harper without really me attacking Bryce Harper, that it felt like you must have some sort of weird, I don't want to say weird, but you must have some sort of affinity for Bryce Harper. You must be his father. So it was like a sarcastic kind of, I wasn't expecting Bryce Harper's dad to call in.
I'm old enough.
And like, Ralph, everyone believed it. Like, so many people texted me. Jerry was looking to cut it up because he thought it was Bryce Harper's dad. Evan Roberts texted me. He's like, that's awesome. I was like, no, I mean, it was a great call. It was a great phone call, but
I hit him up for a loan. I'll tell you that
much. Yeah, I hear you.
I've been a Phillies fan my whole life.
Right.
And where I live, it's either Yankees or Red Sox. Mostly Yankees and Red Sox.
No, I get it. You explained yourself.
I'm in the minority of everywhere. Well, trust me. In the whole area.
Yeah, no, it was.
Just a fan. I'm a fan of talent, no matter who they are.
Yeah, and listen, to your point, man, and thank you for the call. Bryce Harper. Thank you for the call, Mr. Harper. Bryce Harper's a great player, and you can't tell the story of this era, this generation of baseball, without saying his name. But he's just not as talented as Aaron Judge. That's all. And I never said otherwise. I never knocked him. I never singled out Bryce Harper as someone who's beneath Aaron Judge, even though that's the truth. All right. Well, that's it for this 3 hours. We'll catch you tomorrow, Friday, in the midday. Me and the aforementioned Keith McPherson will be in for Sal and BT. So Gio's going to get a dose of Yankees talk on the way home now. Poor Gio. The guy can't shake me. So we'll see you then. Everybody have a great day. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. The warm-up show, Crystal Presti and Eddie coming up. Al coming up next. I'm out of here. Sports Radio 101.9.